Okay, this is Mark Roberts. I'm interviewing E.C. Lester on April 28th, 2010. Mr. Lester, tell me a bit about yourself.
Sure.
Tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 98 years old, and you want my story on the horse covers, or what do you want to...
Yeah, when did you...
You want to start on that?
Or? Yeah, let's start on that.
Well, as far as I know, I'm the only man alive that rode horses in the old state cavalry. And if there's anyone anywhere that was in it when I was there, I'd like to contact them. And I joined the horse cavalry in 1931. Times were tough, and I was... told I'd come join the cavalry and come down and drill once a month. I get $4. And that's why I joined the state cavalry. And our headquarters were located over here on High Street in a great big old wood building. That's where our headquarters was. And we met there sometimes. And we met on this big slab of concrete in front of the old arsenal. It was a wide place in there then before the widen the East Main Street there, took up most of it. We used to meet there and drill and march and do the manual of arms and whatever. And I remember some of the personnel that was in the guard. Major Major Graham, I think, was a major in a unit. I never did meet him personally, but and I had another man, there's Lieutenant Smith, that worked at, I think he worked at one of the banks as a cashier. And I remember some of the names that was in the unit. There was the Lewis brothers, George and J.B. Lewis, and another brothers, Chester and Charles, Chester and Charles Kays, I remember those two, Lewis Pulliam, and I remember a fellow by the name of Joe Beecham, and I could see the faces of a lot of the others, but I don't remember their names. And I remember spending 1 week in Fort Knox. They'd go down every year, take the horses down by train, and then we'd follow in the train and spend a week down there on fake maneuvers and whatnot. And I remember one time we rode out on the range and all the horses and men, and one of these old boys fell off of his horse, and the horse took out back for the barn. I tried to chase her down and couldn't catch her till she got to the barn yard gate, and I got her reins, took her back to where we all were. And we'd go out on the range and do imaginary battles, I guess you would call it. I remember one time we was following this lieutenant or sergeant or wherever he was. He led us in an imaginary battle. And we ran the horses with our 45 empty automatics. In a mock battle. And one time we was out on the range, and he was having a skirmish of some kind. This big tank was running all around over the hillside, and we stopped the horses along this wooded area, and every fourth man had to hold a horse. So I was one of the horse holders, and plane come over and dropped tear gas. I sat there on a log and cried with the horses. And that's the only session I got to spend at Fort Knox. But I moved away and couldn't get back to drill, and so I had to drop out of the unit. And they evidently they abandoned the horses sometime between 1931 and 34. I think they went mobile sometime during that time. And that's about all I can remember about it.
What did you train the horses?
Sure.
What did you train the horses at?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you teach them?
What kind of change?
What kind of skills did you teach the horse? How did you train the horses?
How did we do what?
Train the horses.
Train them?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they were already trained. They were old horses. They'd been in that unit for a long time. And we just rode them. And these...
Did you ever use live ammunition?
Sure.
Did you ever use live ammunition?
Oh, no. Well, one time they set up a target practice with the automatic rifles, and I remember George Lewis was shooting the rifle, and I kept begging him to let me shoot it. And he gave it to me, and I pulled the trigger, and he turned me about halfway around before I get my finger off the trigger. And I wasn't used to it, didn't know what, never had shot one of them. And as far as I know, I'm the only man alive that rode horses in that unit, and if there is anybody, I'd like to contact them and see who they are. I guess that's about the extent of my memories of the horse riding cavalry days.
So then you went to work in the distillery?
Sure. Well, I lived in Wood Lake at that time, and I moved to Forsales, the other side of Forsales, a little place called Pinkford, and went to work in a nursery there for a while. I worked in that nursery for a while, and then I worked for the old lady's son that ran a farm there. And I finally ran out of a job there and moved to Forsales and went to work for the county. And I worked on the county roads for a while. Finally run out of a job, and things got pretty tough for me. In fact, I couldn't pay my rent at that time, and they threw me out. I was trying to take care of my mother and sister, and so we moved our furniture over in Forsales in an old wooden building that was back there. No security, and you wonder I hadn't got everything stolen. And in the meantime, I got signed up to go to CC camp. And I went to, and it's the spring of 1934. And after I went to CC camp, I was going to get $30 a month. I kept $5 and had to send $25 home. And the mother got him to let her move back in the house. And so I spent 6 months at Clinton, Kentucky, in the CC camp. And I remember all the boys that was going down from this area met in Frankfort. And that night we walked up East Main and slept on that old barn floor where the horses used to stay. That's the reason I think they abandoned the horses sometime between 1931 and 1934. And we had no bedding, no nothing. We just slept on the dirt floor that night in the clothes and marched back downtown the next day. And they took us in the restaurant there and gave us a little something for breakfast. I don't remember what it was. I know it wasn't much. And then we got on the train, went to Fort Knox. She stayed there for about a week, and went on to Clinton, Kentucky, to the CC camp there at Clinton, Kentucky. There was an area where I remember getting off of the train and going up, and I don't know whether they gave us some clothes. Marshal soon gave us some clothes, and we were marching up to go into the barracks, and this guy behind me walked up and stepped on my heels, and I turned around and said something to him, and we started marching again, and we stopped. He walked up on my heels again. Well, we turned around. We had quite a little consultation over that. And the fellow that knew me told somebody after we got back home, he said, that I hit the ground fighting. And that area down there was prone to wash off of bad. And our unit that I was in, we go out and the great big ditches were washed out in the farms, and they were attempting to reclaim these farms for these farmers. And they had ditches washed out you could bury a house in. And we would drill in the bank, in the long the bank, down so far, and then stepped it off so many depths, and you'd load all those holes with dynamite and blow them in, and we'd take grubbing holes and work all the dirt down and level it off to where stock could get over it. And then they had another unit that come along and grassed it over and planted trees on it. I would love to go back and see those areas that I worked in. And after I got out of CC camp, I came home after 6 months, and I heard about a place in Lexington was providing the fellows that went to CC camp, gave them first chance at a job. So I went to, I hitchhiked to Lexington, went to this place and got signed up to a little company called Clark, Stewart, and Wood. They were building a pump house on the river for waterworks to for sales somewhere in the area of Tyrone. And I hitchhiked back to for sales and walked out the road toward the Tyrone. I don't remember the name of the road. And I came across the pipeline that they had dug and laid the pipe from the river to for sales for the water line. I hit that water line and followed it to the river and down over the cliff, and went to work for Clark, Stewart, and Woods. And I worked there. I know the first job I had, they had this big derrick of a thing. It was pulling the they were pulling the cofferdam out of the river where they had it to fix the intake for the waterworks to the pump house. And he was pulling them big timbers out of this derrick, and they were about 16 or 18 feet long, two by 12 spiked together, slimy and muddy and wet, and laying them up on the bank. And this long, tall black boy, they put him and me to carry these things up the river bank, way up on the bank, and stack them up. And just about all we could wiggle under. Just, it was wet and sloppy and muddy. And we worked at that afternoon. I don't know if we got all of them up there or not. That black boy didn't come back the next day. he didn't go for that. And I worked at that till they got that job done. And then I was going with a girl in Franklin County, lived near Schweitzer. And of course, I went down there every weekend, and I got a job in 1935 at K. Taylor Distillery, and I worked there till in the powerhouse for a while till they shut down, and then I went to work on construction work. I worked, I helped build this first high-rise building that they built on the the old prison ground. I helped build that building. And incidentally, I got fired off of that job. Had a little consultation with some foreman or something, and they fired me. And I went down Stag and went to work down there on some warehouses. Boy, that was man-killing work down there on those warehouses. And I worked on that for a while, and they was building a new warehouse at Crow Distillery in 1940. And I went to work on the construction work there, building that warehouse. That was the same year the Locust was there. And I have seen the Locust five times. And I remember 1940, they were running ahead the mill set up to drilling holes for the dunnies, big rails that went in the warehouse. And the fellas that were running the mills had to have canvas around their head to keep those locusts out of their face. And I worked on that job a while, and National bought old Granddad Distillery. So I went to the office and applied for my original fireman's job. And they called it old Granddad then. And I got the job, and I worked 12 years in the powerhouse and firing the boilers and taking care of pumps and engines and things. And foolishly, in 1952, I quit my job, and me and another fellow went to Danville and started a service station, which was a bad mistake as far as I was concerned. And that didn't last long. I seen that place wasn't going to support two families, so I sold out to my partner, and I went back to work for National, and living in Danville. And I drove back and forth for about 4 months, and I moved back to Franklin County, and I started out, when I went back to work for National, I started out in the warehouse, and I didn't like that job at all. I worked there for a while and moved back to Franklin County, over on a little house there on Cardwell Lane, next to 60. And while I was the first year I lived there, I bought a lot on the Evergreen Road and started building my house. And I worked 8 hours at the distillery, sleep 2 or 3 hours, and go to work on that house. I like to work myself to death building that house. But I got it done. I moved in that house in February of 54. And in the meantime, I worked, I didn't like the warehouse, so they had posted jobs, you know, for different places. And they posted a job for the sub-department of new production called the dry house. So I bid on that job in the dry house, and went to work in there running the hammer mills part of the time, and part of the time was handling 100-pound bags of feed. And off and on, they would post a temporary carpenter job. And I was a carpenter, so I would bid in this 3 month carpenter job. I could work on it 3 months, then I'd have to go back to my bid job. And I worked at about every department there was in the Crow Distillery, back and forth from Granddad to Old Taylor and Crow. I'd bid in, and I bid from the dry house, from the new production, I bid in shipping. And I worked in shipping a while, and I bid in a tractor and trailer job. I never had driven a tractor and trailer, but they let me have it, and I learned on the job. And I drove a tractor and trailer for a while, and a yard truck for a while, and then the painter retired. There was a regular painter. He retired, and I bid in his job. I went to painting. And I painted until Crow shut down. Crow shut down, and in the meantime, the boss come around and told me to go to Granddad in general maintenance. So I went to Granddad and worked there in general maintenance, done everything you was to do. And I retired working with the electricians. I was running a conduit in the warehouse for lighting, and that's where I retired. And I went to work with the boss on, I decided to retire in 1974, and I went to the boss and told him, I said, now, I know you're going to have a hard time getting along without me, but come Monday morning, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to retire. And he stood there and stomped that floor and pawed, and I'll be damned. I'll be damned. He hated so bad to see me retire. And so I retired April 1st, 1974. And I made a remark when I retired, I'm not going to do anything, I don't have to. But that tornado hit me on April 3rd and showed me I had something to do besides what I wanted to do. And so that's where I retired. And so I've been, that's about as far as I know, that's about all I have to tell you. And
so did that tornado get your house?
Oh yeah, it didn't tear it up, it shook it up pretty bad, tore the roof off. And but it was pretty well constructed, and it didn't, kind of twisted a little bit. Some of the doors didn't want to close just right, but it finally settled back, got in good shape. And so that's about all I know to tell you. I appreciate you letting me share my little story with you.
Sure.